This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome back to The Gardening Show. I say welcome back because we've been off for 2 weeks. That's why it couldn't get through. We had a couple phone calls. I can't get through. Well, those were reruns.
Yes.
As they say in the biz. So that's right. Bob, I hope you had a good time doing what you were doing.
Yeah. Well, terrific time.
Little vacay?
Yep. A little vacay, a little travel.
All right. And we're back at it again. And you came back and it's a whole new climate now. It's freezing outside now.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Well, tis the season. So welcome. And what's on the agenda today?
So first, I want to talk about some observations I made. On my travel there, we went out as far as Wyoming, Minnesota, and starting in Ohio, really, and through Michigan and on, you know, you start to see a lot of cornfields.
Yes, you do.
And the further you get out west there, the flatter it gets and the bigger the cornfields are. And it's quite amazing. It's always amazed me. And, you know, the Indians used to say that they are the people of the corn because that was their main food crop. And now us white men, we are now the people of the corn. You know, corn is just about in every product on earth and every food, whether it be human or animal. It's just about in everything. So there's an awful lot of corn grown all through the United States. And it's amazing to look at a field of maybe 1,000 acres, 500 to 1,000 acre field of corn. And you come to the realization, yeah, we grow a lot of corn in this country.
And consume.
And consume, yeah. And it just goes on and on and on forever. But another thing that's always really tickled me and amazed me, as you know, man's been growing corn for over 10,000 years and hybridizing it to fit his needs. And when you look at a large cornfield that's miles and miles across, you could almost put a level on it. There are no stalks taller than the other, no short ones. They're all exactly the same height. It's just amazing to me how man has developed corn to produce. And, you know, the corn now produces a lot more per stalk than it did 50 years ago, 100 years ago, so on. So we can grow a lot more productive corn in an acre than we used to be able to. So I just wanted to mention that. It's just a really amazing sight to see if you've never really drove through a large cornfield. It's pretty amazing to see. And the farmsteads, they're easy to spot. In these large cornfields, you'll see a little island of trees. And if you look through the trees, you'll see the farmhouse and all the barns. So it's kind of neat, the little islands in the big sea of corn.
Sea of corn.
Yeah.
Corn, isn't it? I mean, what about high fructose corn syrup even?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everything that we eat that's sweet, pretty much.
And a lot of things that we use, you know, a lot of materials. And plastics and so on are all made partly from corn.
So thank goodness for the flatlands of Ohio nothing. And I mean, it is a boring drive after a while. But I have to admit, because being an Ohio boy myself, I know.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I know.
Well, just picture this, the Ohio cornfields. Then when you get out into Minnesota, Wisconsin, They're three times the size.
Well, Wisconsin are known for their cheese fields.
Oh, that too.
Yes.
Yeah, there's lots of cheese places. Yeah. but beautiful country, you know, really highly recommend that you see the sights and someday that it's pretty amazing.
We are on Facebook Live.
Good.
And we have a couple viewers already. And I do see that you have
Yeah,
greenery on the countertop. Maybe we'll get to that in a little bit on your time. They'll introduce it when it's ready. But I just wanted to let people know that I just popped us on Facebook Live, so you can watch and listen here on B107.5. And the phone lines are open, 368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. Doesn't matter what we're talking about. If you have a question, you pop right on, and we'll get you on the air.
Yeah. By the way, also in my travels, you know, if anybody's ever wondering, because I always have, what season are they in? The exact same one we are.
Okay.
The leaves are no different than what we have here. So that was kind of amazing to me, too. I thought we would may see a couple different seasons, but nope, same season.
At least on the same parallel anyway.
Yeah.
If you go south, maybe you get a little bit warmer.
Oh, true. How true.
Just maybe. And you might see a palm tree if you go to Florida. You might.
But I brought these perennials in because we got to start thinking about pruning our perennials back for those that want to. And you can even start now. You don't have to wait for a frost. You know, if you've got time and you enjoy this kind of weather, you can do that now. You're not going to harm the plant. They've already stored up enough food in their root system that they'll come back real strong next year. But I want to point out a few different things. So I got a couple. I'm going to stand up. Is that all right?
No, it's not okay.
I've got this type of pruner, which is...
Oh, so that's like I call that the scissors kind. And then you squeeze them to chop.
Yeah. And I have a regular pruner, too, that you can use either or type of pruner.
See, now I'm not a garden guy. I'd think that that's a wire cutter.
Oh. Well, a lot of these types of pruners will have a little tiny notch down at the end, a little U-shaped notch. That is for cutting wire.
Oh,
the rest of it is for cutting branches.
Well, that is clever.
Now, this one doesn't have that little notch. This is strictly for pruning, gardening. So, this is a cone flower. Now, this is going to go for a lot of other things, too, like Rebecca, black-eyed Susans, some of the other plant material, foxgloves, anything that has a nice big seed head. I'm going to clip one off so you can see it a little closer. A nice big seed head.
Okay.
So, my first step is going to be to cut off that seed head. And then I'm not going to do it right here. Mm-hmm. I may take my thumb and fingers and kind of rough it up. Let a bunch of seeds drop. They're going to become next year's crop.
Oh, okay.
And that way I can multiply the plant. Now, if you don't want to multiply it, then just go ahead with the pruning. And how I'm going to do it, and you can use either or again. This one's pretty thick stem, so I'm going to use this type of pruner.
The small one.
Yep. Just go right down there. I like to grab, is that showing up? I like to grab a handful and kind of, like when you're cutting your hair.
When you're cutting.
You know what that's like?
No, I don't, Bob. Do you see the hairdo I'm rocking here?
No.
It's.
You remember that?
It's called the Bald Man Special.
Same here. So I'll just go down the base. Maybe I'll leave an inch or two and just snip it off.
Oh, wow. You just grabbed the whole thing and.
Yeah.
Chopped it all the way down.
Now, I get really picky. I like to lay them all down in the same direction because come cleanup time, it's going to be easier. If I just clipped and tossed,
oh, okay.
Now I'll have to rake them all up and gather them.
Yeah, you have a nice little clean pile. So you're cutting everything, all the leaves and everything down.
Right down like that, even a few of those stray leaves. This is going to do a couple things. Not only help from getting rid of most of the foliage, that could have a disease and could overwinter and then come back next year. I've gotten rid of that. It also could harbor some those bad insects yet. So that could overwinter right there and then come back next year. So I've gotten rid of two pests that way. Now, also on the other end, I could have, if there's beneficial insects in there, I may have just destroyed a whole generation of them too. So it's a choice you make whether to cut back or not cut back. In my yard, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. It just depends on how I feel. If I've seen a lot of beneficials that year, I may not cut my perennials back. But if I've had a lot of pest there, then I'll probably cut them back, even rake my garden bed out, clean it out real well.
Now, can you do this on most perennials or?
Most perennials, yeah. So I brought another type too.
And this one was called the?
Coneflower.
Coneflower. Okay, we just demonstrated the coneflower.
Now this one here, another real popular one, get rid of the tag for a minute, is Monarda or Bee Balm. That's very popular. I picked these because they're really popular. And so I'm going to do the same way, but I'll do it with the other pruner now because this has skinnier stems and I can get a whole bunch at a time. And just and this way I'm not making a mess too. I grab a whole handful and I can cut it like that.
Snip it right down like scissors.
Yep. I can grab another portion. So it makes the job quick and easy. Of course, in the garden, I'll be kneeling down with my knee pads on. It always helps. Not only protects your knees, but protects your pants too.
Yeah.
Because after kneeling so many times, you'll wear out a pair of pants quite quickly. So there, I've clipped that down. And I may go down inside and pick out some of these old dead leaves that are in there and old stems just to clean it up real well. So that's now ready for spring. And again, I hopefully have gotten rid of a lot of the garden pest and disease that could affect this plant next year. And so it'll be healthier. But at the same token, I may have gotten rid of some of the beneficials, and that's a bad thing. So it's a choice you have to make whether to cut them back or not cut them back.
Now, if you don't cut them back, do they usually just keep growing and growing until they're out of control?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they will.
So you have to cut them back.
Well, cutting back does not control their growth, really. They're still going to multiply. No matter whether you cut them back or not, most perennials are, especially if you cut off those seed heads and either drop the whole seed head down and nature will separate it or separate it yourself. That's going to make them multiply. By cutting down or not cutting down is not going to change the plant's growth.
But it will make it look better come spring because...
Yeah.
It has more energy and it's going to re-bloom a little bit better.
And you're ensuring that no disease or a lot
That's
less
the main
disease
thing.
Yeah,
okay.
is left there. And it just looks neater.
Yeah.
Because if you do leave a lot of foliage and the snow comes down, it can start to cause a lot of mold and mildew.
Mm.
So that's given that a start come the spring. And this year we all had problem with mold and mildew, you know, so... sometimes it is a good idea. Most of the time, it's a good idea to cut your perennials back and clean up the bed. Cut them back. Maybe even rake out the bed. Get a lot of those stray leaves out of there. And in that way, you can see if there's any weeds growing in there, too. Great time in the fall, starting right now, to start pulling them last weeds out of there. Before they really get hold and start to root in real well and make it real hard to pull them out. They're much easier right now, especially when the ground is wet, to pull out the roots release easily. So we get the whole weed.
Okay, great. Hey, the phone lines are open, by the way, at 814-368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. You can hop right on there or... We are on Facebook Live as well, and facebook.com/WESB1075.
Also, while you're, and it just hit me, while you're pruning your perennials back, you'll notice when you're cutting them and handling them that each one has a different smell. And some of the smells are really great, like this Monarda or Bee Balm has a real great smell. You know, and even you can take some of this that you've cut off, harvested, and some people make tea out of it, pluck the leaves off, put it in some water, maybe put it outside in the sun. You can make some tea or make some potpourri. That's where you just take a bunch of plant material, let it dry out, put it in a bowl, you know, and that scent will be given off for a long period of time. So, and it will help remind you of your flower garden there last year. So all that, it's useful every way you can think of.
So even when you're not flowering, you can still enjoy what you've done.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool, that's a good idea.
So don't think of it as a real chore. Think of it as you can use it in different ways.
I'm sniffing it and trying to see if I can pick anything up here. It kind of smells like seasoning for food or something.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. I wouldn't drink it.
Well, the Native Americans really highly recommend it. They used to make what they called asueo tea. It was a medicinal herb for them. Here, crush up a few leaves.
That's all right.
Oh, okay.
I got the gist.
Okay. So, just notice that how different scented some of your plants are. I don't recommend eating any of them, you know, unless you really know that it's safe. So don't taste them. Some guys like me will taste everything, but some plants can be highly poisonous. So be aware of that. You know, if you really don't know what you're doing, don't taste it. But it's okay to handle it.
What's poison ivy taste like, Bob?
That I can't tell you. Oh, okay. I would never tell you that. But that reminds me of an interesting thing with poison ivy. A plant called jewelweed, or it's the wild impatient. Or some people call it touch me not. When you touch the seed heads, they pop and toss the seeds. That may give people, and usually has an orange flower, sometimes a yellow flower, may give people an idea of what it is. Wherever poison ivy is growing, usually you'll see jewelweed growing there also. And the Native Americans discovered that jewelweed is the antidote for poison ivy. So if you do get into poison ivy, on accident, usually you'll find some jewelweed there. Pluck some of it, rub it on where you got the poison ivy, and hopefully that should stop the poison ivy from becoming a terrible rash for yourself.
Wow, that's really neat.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but they always grow together.
Well, that's extra convenient.
It doesn't mean that if you have jewelweed in your backyard that you have poison ivy, but if you do have poison ivy, you probably have jewelweed too.
Cool. And does it grow just on the ground, or does it creep up along with the ivy?
No, it just grows along the ground, yeah.
Like it doesn't go up with the trees with the...
No, it doesn't. It's just a regular stemmy, real green fleshy stems and green fleshy leaves, and of course those orange or yellow flowers with the seed pods that when you touch them when they're ripe, that's kind of neat to do. You just touch that or kind of gently pinch it and you'll see it pop and seeds will go everywhere.
See, it's the cool things that you learn on just the weird sidebars that we get off onto in the gardening show. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more Bob Harris and the Master Gardener. It's the Gardening Show right here on B107.5.
You know it's coming. That colder weather is on the way. Make sure you're ready with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. They're fully stocked with quality Allegheny wood pellets available by the bag or pallet, as well as bagged rice and nut coal. They also have a full line of stovepipe in stock, single wall in black and galvanized, plus B-vent double and triple wall. And now in stock, Empire natural gas heaters. Be prepared for the weather ahead. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. And Bob Harris, the Master Gardener himself, is sitting across from me. We had a little show and tell on Facebook Live earlier. And he's like, oh, I made a mess here. And he's starting to clean up. No, Bob, don't worry about that. It's just a little plant shavings here and there.
We'll get
it later. So if you have a question for the Master Gardener himself, Bob Harris, you can give us a phone call at 814-368-9372. What else do you have in mind today, Bob?
One more thing I wanted to mention before you do go trimming back your perennials, and you've got lots of time. You can start now and go right on into where you can't stand the weather anymore. Some of the perennials we want to check over real close to make sure that there's no butterfly chrysalis on that plant. If there is, we're going to want to leave that. So just be aware of that. You know, give it a quick look, especially if you've got milkweed or any of the milkweed family in your yard. You may have some monarch butterfly chrysalis. So try to refrain from cutting them down. Leave them for that creature to continue on.
Okay.
Just about any other insect you may see on there, you're doing your plant a favor by getting rid of it.
Now, how do you said this is good for most perennials. What's the exception? How do you know that they're not supposed to be pruned way back like you've done today?
Oh, boy. That's just about all the perennials I can think of.
Oh, okay.
Will benefit from a good pruning back like that to protect them. Again, just the only ones I wouldn't are the ones that I know maybe harboring some butterfly. That one I would not. Or any ones that still have some blossoms on, we want to leave them blossoms because there still are a lot of pollinators out there looking for food, so leave those blossoms. Now, if it's a spent blossom like the one I showed, you know, you can get rid of that. But for bird lovers like myself, I may leave a lot of these because through the winter, the birds will feed off those seeds there. Mm. Of course, if I did break them up and let them go on the ground, the birds will still find them on the ground too. So we're benefiting a lot of wildlife by not cutting everything down, but by leaving some. The only one I can really think of that you may not want to cut down is the ornamental grasses.
Mm.
Because they can be quite neat to look at all the way through the winter. That's again a choice you have to make. You know, if you're you really want to cut it down so you don't have to worry about it falling apart and blowing around your yard come late winter, then go ahead, cut it down now. But if you really enjoy that look all winter long, which I do, then leave it up and know that you're going to have a little bit of cleanup there, and probably your mower will chop it up, take care of it for you anyhow. But, you can leave the ornamental grasses all winter long, but just try to trim them back before March, because they'll start falling apart and blowing around your yard and in the neighbor's yard.
Okay. Great. We have about 5 minutes left in the show.
Okay. Other things that you really want to keep in mind are the leaves. You know, it's better to rake them up as they fall than to wait until they all fall and then rake them up.
No, come on. Yeah. Don't tell me that.
I know.
I'd like to do a one and done.
Or,
but no, huh?
Like at my house, I'm on a schedule of mowing every week, except for when I was on vacation. My grass is now 6 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. I'll catch up. A lot of times, once you mow every week, then you'll be chopping up all those leaves, and they're good to leave in place rather than rake them up. All those leaves will have a lot of carbon in them, and our soil and our grass and all our plants need that carbon to continue their life. So by chopping up the leaves once a week with a mower, you're doing a good thing.
Oh, good.
If you don't get it in time and you have to, and your mower can't chop them all up, then you got to rake them up. It's real beneficial to rake them into a pile, get a nice tarp, a 10x10 tarp I like, rake them into that tarp, and then you can carry them off to your compost pile or put them in bags if you don't have a compost pile, and don't throw them away. Put them in them bags and just leave them there all winter long. Come spring, you can dump them in your vegetable garden or your flower beds, rototill them in. That's a real good compost, making real good compost for those beds. And if you don't get to it right away, you know, they're going to be fine in those bags for a couple years. Don't leave them too long because the plastic bags will deteriorate and then they'll blow all around your yard. But
you got to make sure they don't get wet, I would imagine, right? And don't bag them while they're wet because then you'll have a moldy mess.
Well, no, that's all right. The mold is good.
Oh,
yeah, the mold is good.
Even in the garden when you
use it as mulch. Oh, yes, very good. Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No.
You're blowing my mind, Bob.
That type of mold is very beneficial, and it usually shows up as a white mold. It's very, very beneficial to your garden.
See, if I'd see that in my garden, I'd be like, oh, no, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
The whole thing's ruined. No, leave it be. Okay.
And it's not really a mold. It's a fungus.
Okay. But
and that fungus is a highly beneficial fungus to plants. It's the fungus that will help break down the minerals so that they're available to the plant. The plants don't really feed right from the soil. They feed from a fungus that breaks it down and gives it to the plant, and the plant in turn gives the fungus a little bit of sugar, so they both benefit. And you know, this is really kind of new science. We've only discovered this in the last 20 years about this beneficial symbiosis that happens with fungus and plants. A lot of times you can find products, the fungal product on the market that you can apply to your garden to help jumpstart your garden that way. So yeah, that white fungus in your leaves is highly beneficial.
Excellent. Okay. Maybe I'll just try that.
Yeah.
Now, when the leaves get all crunchy and dead and everything, grind them up before you put them in the garden soil, or just put them in the whole?
You can do either or. I like to kind of grind them up, so I usually run my mower over first, mm-hmm. then I'll rake them so they're all chopped up. That way, they just deteriorate much quicker.
Right.
You can put them in whole, too, because I've done that before when, you know, those lazy times where you just rake them mm-hmm. up, toss them in. Mm-hmm. Over the winter, they're going to start to break down. And then as I rototill, of course, that's going to chop them up, and they get under the soil, and then they really deteriorate quite quickly by fungus or worms mm-hmm. or any of those creatures in our soil that feed on all that dead plant material.
Cool. We have about a minute left. Any last words?
So I was talking about cleaning up those leaves. Mm-hmm. Keep up with it, because it makes it much easier, and it's good for your lawn to let more sunlight in. As we, that leaf cover starts to build, it does block out the sun, and that can harm our grass, can weaken it. Real important, if you have evergreens around, they tend to catch and hold a lot of leaves. So we want to rake them out of there or blow them with our blowers. And they make a lot of nice blowers. You can get electric ones, battery operated ones, gas powered ones. There's one for everybody. Blow them out of those evergreens, because that can harbor pests that will overwinter there or block out the sunlight, so that that's harmful to that evergreen there too.
Okay, very good. Thanks for the advice, and we'll see you again next week.
You bet.
Excellent. It's The Gardening Show, and it's on demand now too. It's all on WESB.com, and we will talk to you again next week right here on B107.5. Have a great weekend.